Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that. Sure good to be in this morning. And if you've got a Bible, take and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Timothy. We're coming to a quick end to 1 Timothy, but it's been an enjoyable book for me to teach, but any of the pastoral epistles are, to me, just premier number one, because they're so important to the age we live and to the work and ministry of the church and those that teach and minister through the church and try to work outside of the church. So I hope that you've had a wonderful week. I'll get started here in a minute. They tell me don't talk too much. You don't have much time anyway. And I said, I got plenty of time. So I did want to tell the church this. Bonnie and I drove home last Sunday, and we went up through Brookville, and that, of course, we got to go through Brookville, north of Brookville, Indiana, to get home. And when we were going through, there was a young man walking across the street in a pair of red shorts and kind of a gray hoodie on. He was carrying a guitar in a box, and it looked like a pretty good box to me, you know, a case. And I didn't pay much attention other than I wonder where he's going. And I drove on home, and we got home, and Bonnie, we needed something. I had to do something, and I run right back to town because we're just real close to town. There he was on the street corner, up on the street corner at the BP gas station playing that guitar and singing, just singing for all he was worth. And I'll stop. I went past him. I looked, and you don't see many people in Brookville on the street with a guitar singing Folsom Prison Blues. That's what he was singing. And I thought, huh. Say, and so I turned around, went around the block. I thought, you know what? I've done a little street work myself. I've been caught on a corner, but I wasn't singing Folsom Prison. I was singing Amazing Grace or something, you know. And so I thought, well, you know what? That takes, he's pretty bold. I didn't know how old he was or anything. He's a pretty good sized man. So I went around the block and I pulled in that gas station, and there was a Jeep pulled up to him and somebody talking to him outside the window. And he was talking to them, and I thought, huh, well, let me let that get done. And he got done, and they drove off, and I drove up next. It was like curbside talking, you know. And so I pulled up, rolled my window down, I flagged him over, and he turned around and come over. And I said, now, I hear you singing. What? Now, what was you singing? I'm singing Folsom Prison Blues. And I said, yeah, that's what I thought you were singing. He said, you know that song? I said, yeah, I know probably every word to it. And he said, okay. And I said, well, let me ask you this. How old are you? He said, I'm 14. And he was 6 foot tall, probably, you know, just a big old boy. And I thought, huh. I said, well, can I just ask you? I said, you got your guitar case there and you got a Yamaha guitar there. I said, can I just ask you? I said, what are you doing up here? What made you come up here? He says, I'm working. I work here every Sunday. I said, up here on the street. Well, yeah, he said, I lost my job. See, we're poor. I have to work, and I lost my job, and I go to school, so I couldn't keep up. So I found out if I come up on the street corner and sing, people put money in my guitar case. I just got played. I said, well, I'll give you $5 if you'll listen to me for a minute. He said, yes, sir. He was very polite. Yes, sir. Okay, I'll listen to you. Yes, sir. So I put $5 in his hand, and he throwed it in the case, and he's standing there with his guitar. So I began to witness to him, tell him about the Lord, and told him that I also stood on the street corner, and I'd sing and preach, but I'd sing Amazing Grace. I didn't sing full. He said, people like Folsom Prison. I said, they like Amazing Grace, too. So he had a little moxie to him. So I witnessed to him. I said, now, you ever been saved? He says, no, I don't think so. He said, but I've been thinking about that. I said, well, why you been thinking about it? He says, because I go to the youth rally on Wednesday nights over at the Baptist Church in Matamor. I said, is that right? He said, yeah, they talk about getting saved over there, but I ain't never been saved. So, well, can I ask you, why do you go to that youth rally? He says, they let me sing. I said, do you sing Folsom Prison? He said, no. He said, I got to sing their songs. I said, well, now look, I got a little Bible out of the glove box. And he said, I got one of them. I said, good. I said, you ever been to a ball game or watched it on TV? Oh, yeah, I like sports. I said, you ever seen somebody back in the stands when they flash back at the stands and they got John 3:16 painted on their forehead or on a big sign? He said, yeah, I have. He said, I always wondered why they do that. I said, they're trying to be a testimony. And I quoted John 3:16 for him. I said, you can find that in your Bible. And I said, I want you to think about what we talked about today. You need to be saved. Because, see, you're out here on the street to make a buck. And I said, that has purpose to it. But if you come out here singing for the Lord, you could have some real purpose. And not only that, when you die, you won't go to hell. So I witnessed to him. He listened. He was polite. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I'm going to ask that youth leader about getting saved. I said, well, he needs to. He said, I've been thinking about it, so I don't even know what his name was, but I know he was singing Folsom Prison. So anyhow, he lives there in town, so I introduced him to another pastor in town, a Baptist preacher. I said, I know that man. I give him a business card. It had Jeremiah's name on it, so I didn't have any with my name on it. So he may call, but anyway, that's interesting. I hope you had an interesting week. I always get a chance to talk to somebody. Okay, enough rhetoric in Sunday school class. Enough testifying and testimonying. But it's always fun to tell somebody about the Lord and just see what happens. I do have another story. Two people come to my door yesterday. Oh, we better not go with that one. They were Jehovah's Witnesses. And boy, they had some stuff. I listened and listened and listened. And finally, I got to just answering their questions with the scriptures. And that guy looked at me and said, boy, you know the Bible awful well. I said, well, I do read the Bible about every day. Oh, that's good. I said, do you read the Bible every day? He says, no, no. I said, well, might help if you read the Bible every day. I see you're struggling with finding these places I'm giving you. I'm quoting them and giving you the address, and you're hunting them up. He said, well, I found that one over there in 1 John. Let me read it to you. And he read it, something about the whole world was wicked. I said, well, you're reading now the wrong translation. It says the whole world lieth in wickedness. And the world is wicked today because of sin. And I said, but I really like that place in John chapter 3 where Jesus got to talk to one religious man called Nicodemus. And I went ahead and witnessed to them. And they said there, I never did tell them. I did tell them I was a Christian. I was saved. And they wanted to know if they could come back. And I said, well, I said, you're always welcome at my door. I said, but I don't think you're going to persuade me. I said, because I am saved, been saved for a number of years. And I got saved by putting my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, that's where I'm at. And I said, well, Oak, sounds like you're doing okay. Well, we won't come back here. We'll check you off the list. I said, all right. I was kind to them, but I stood my ground. You know, now, we could go on. I could get Nick's story and Bonnie's story and John's story and Jeff's story, and he gets to see people a lot. Brother Tom's story. But isn't it good just to be a witness, no matter where you're at, to have an answer for a man that may ask a question? And then to get to tell somebody about the Lord who has no bias and really no religion at all, but knows there's something wrong. So with that thought, take your Bible and look in Timothy. I want to get on with the lesson here. Just a little testimony time, story time. And we stopped last time in verse 14 or verse 13, where it said in 1 Timothy 6, I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things. And we talked about the word quicken, quickeneth, and elaborated on that and brought many verses. And then he says, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Of course, they're bringing back to remembrance the days that Jesus was falsely accused in the presence of Pontius Pilate. And he was still at that hearing or that judgment hall. He was condemned to death and he died for our sins. But watch what he says here. And notice in verse 13, the very last word in the says, Pilate witnessed a good profession, and look at that semicolon there. That means he's going to continue the thought into the next verse, and the next verse is going to have something to do with the last verse. Now, if you have a a period, then he may have been done with that thought and went on. But watch what he says. There's a semicolon there. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we get a colon and we get an addition to that with verse 15, 16, and 17. Really verse 16, and that's when you get the period if you watch punctuation in your Bible. And by the way, honor and power in verse 16, honor and power everlasting, amen, period. And then he signs off with 17 down through verse 21. But paying attention to verse 14 because it plays directly off of what he said in verse 13 as we taught on last week, that thou keep this commandment without spot. And let me, without spot, anytime you see that, it means without guile, vile, sin, or anything like that. But back up one word, that thou keep this commandment. I don't think we have any problem with the structure of the sentence here as put together by the Holy Ghost, that thou, it's personal, it's to you and I, it was to him, keep. No problem with that. That's what we're supposed to do with what he said. This, in reference to whatever just transpired, and we looked at that, that was fleeing, that was verse 10, 11, and 12, fleeing, following, and fighting. Remember, we give you that alliteration that was right there in the text. So he says that thou keep this, and that's in reference to that. Fighting the good fight of faith. Watch that. This, watch it. Commandment. Wow. Commandment. Do you know when somebody commands you to do something, they're not just asking you, would you please take out the trash today? I don't think I ever said that in my life. Get the trash out. Get it out of here. More of a command. Did you ever teach an animal a trick? And and they say it's commands. And my mother liked border collies. And we had sheep, and so we had border collies. And my dad had coon hounds. Two different animals. But those border collies were smart, and she had that one trained. When she would walk out of the house, I think I was about 10, 11 years old, I remember this, that dog would watch us. And if we chased each other around the table, like we always did, that dog would stop us. And she would nip us until we stopped. And once we did, you say, how'd she learn that? My mom gave her the commands. You watch the kid. And they were smart like that. But a command is something that is commanded or charged to a person. And when I got to thinking about the term commandment, I thought, you know, that's worthy of a little attention here. I marvel at the words that the Holy Spirit uses to teach us something from the Word of God. So that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a far-reaching thing, a commandment. And we're commanded in the Bible many times, and a command is to be obeyed. A command is to be carried out. A command is not, do you feel like it today? And you may choose to rebel if somebody commands you to do something. You could rebel. I think we're probably pretty used to just rebelling against somebody telling you what to do. Nobody likes to be told what to do. But when the Lord tells you to do something, we need to pay attention to that. So the term commandment in the Bible refers to order, or adjuration, or as adjudicated, I'll get the right word, or given by authority. Now, if it comes from someone with no authority, then we might take it with a grain of salt. But if it comes from something with authority, then we should pay attention to it. And here we're in the Word of God. The Word of God is of authority. Jesus spoke and taught with authority, biblical, scriptural, spiritual authority. So when we find a command in the Word of God, then we should pay attention to that, because it's coming from a position of authority and it's speaking to us. And I would say here that thou keep this commandment without spot is a direct command from the New Testament to the child of God. First hear the preacher, young Timothy, or anybody that follows or should be in any kind of position or is going to try to serve God in any capacity at all. And so the plural of the word commandments, commandments plural, refers in the scriptures to basically the Mosaic law or the law of Moses. And the first thing you think of, well, you're going to talk about the Ten Commandments. Well, I guess we could for a few minutes, but Exodus chapter 20, there's the thou shalts, thou shalt not this. Say, what is that? We call them the Ten Commandments. And we've even said, and we even think, if the world, if America could get back to the good old-fashioned Ten Commandments in the school, we wouldn't have the troubles we have today. And that's true. And I want to say this. I don't think people's too serious about keeping the commandments of God today, especially in the world. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, we can just go through them all day long. But you're getting, you say, well, we know that's wrong to do. Why? Because it's a commandment of God. And there weren't only 10 commandments given on the tablets. That's the precursor. That was the baseline. There were over 600 commandments given to the Jew in the Old Testament. And they were to live by these commandments and do those commandments. And by the way, when they broke a commandment, God gave them a sacrifice for breaking that commandment. And they get that thing right and go ahead on with their life for God. But the commandments were for Israel's good. And I thought just a moment of our time this morning talking about this will help us when we finally get back to the New Testament. We'll skirt through the Old Testament just for a moment to lay a good solid foundation, just like Paul did when he taught, or Timothy, or anybody else. But then we'll end up this morning in the New Testament looking at the commands of Christ for the child of God in the practical everyday Christian life, and see if we're obedient to the commands of Christ, or if we're rebellious to the commands of Christ. Say, oh, Brother Phil, wow. Well, they say good preaching and good teaching always leads somebody to a decision. You're either going to believe it or you ain't going to believe it. You're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. And you realize we could go back before the law, and our God is a God of commands, because the first thing he said to the man and woman when he made the first man and the first woman was, thou shalt not eat of the tree. And what happened? She rebelled. They rebelled. And they went ahead and ate anyway. And could I say this? Man is still doing the same thing today. And God is still warning, still warning, still warning. So we're going to see this thing come full circle here in just a moment. Look, if you would, in the Old Testament, in the last of the first five books of Moses, that would be the book of Deuteronomy. And look in chapter 10. And look what God said just in general passing of commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 13. He says, to keep the commandments of the Lord. And these were the... We're speaking now of in the plural sense, and we're speaking primarily of the Ten Commandments plus the other commandments that came out through the Levitical writings. To keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, and you get a little idea of what commandments are, statutes of the Lord. He says, which I command thee this day, and I like this, for thy good. See, we think to have to keep the commandments of the Bible, man, that's just too hard to do. We can't do that. But he said it's for our good. I like that when you study the word command or commandments. And so since God's covenant love was lasting for those who kept them, and it was, you're right there in the book of Deuteronomy, back up into the book of Exodus, And in Exodus chapter 20, look what he says in reference to these same kinds of thoughts. He says in Exodus 20, now Exodus 20 is where the Ten Commandments are found, but look at verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You want mercy? Keep the commandments of God. Say, what is that? That's a principle for keeping the commands of God. Not the commands of men, not the statutes of men, but the statutes of God and the principles and commandments of God. You won't go wrong keeping the commandments of God. And so here he says in Exodus, come on back to the book of Deuteronomy. I'll use a couple of these Old Testament passages to see what groundwork the Holy Spirit has already laid. So when Paul says this to young Timothy, he has all this background from the Old Testament to pull from, and that's what caused him to teach and say what he did. And the Bible is very, very consistent in its teaching. So look in Deuteronomy, verse 9 of chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. And the scripture says this, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. I didn't do any math on that, but 1,000 generations? That's a lot of folks. That goes a long way, and that verse 9 is a pretty conclusive verse on the importance of keeping the commandments of God. So obedience would result in, if I'm getting this right, prosperity, security, God's presence, the longevity of the hearer or the doer, the occupation of the land. In their case, they were to get the land. And then a long dynasty, 1,000 generations, and blessings of all sorts that were connected to just keeping the commandments of God. So when Paul tells young Timothy that thou keep this commandment, I know he's referring to just what has just happened, but that command of Paul to Timothy is based and rooted in the foundation of the commandments of God throughout the Word of God, starting early in the book, the first five books of the Bible. So here, disobedience would result in the opposite: terror, afraid of their enemy, illnesses, all the plagues of Egypt come upon them. Well, the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other God before thee, you know, that thing right there. And if you do, I'm going to let the plagues of Egypt come upon you. I'm ad-libbing a little bit here, but that's exactly what happened to them. Well, so how does that affect us? You'll see in just a moment, because God doesn't change. He's immutable, unchangeable. And brother, that thing follows all the way down to his children. You know, the Jew, that was his chosen people, still is today. And you know, the church is the bride of Christ. And he expects as much from the bride of Christ as he does his people. And they were living in the flesh and struggling with the 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. So are we, children of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God, but struggling in a far land, in a far country. We're pilgrims and strangers, the songwriter said, according to the scriptures. But here, you'll have results in terror, illnesses, oppressions, infertilities. He wasn't going to bless them. Exiles, curses, and rebukes. And I wrote a bunch of verses down under the Levitical law. Leviticus 26, 14 through 20. We're not going to read it. Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68, Psalms 119, verse 21, all had to do with the ill effects to the people of God not keeping the commandments of God. You say, oh, that's rough. Well, it's a command. He commanded it. So because Israel disobeyed, and they did, these threats came to pass historically, and we read about them in the Old Testament as far as learning and admonition. Purification of sins, offerings were required to atone for the inadvertent acts of disobeying, violations of the commandments, And you can read about that, Leviticus chapter 4, Numbers chapter 15. It's all through there. And you say, how do you get this stuff? Just look up the word commandment. And then the word commandments. And go back. Every place it's found, you'll be able to make an outline. I made, under point number one, I must have 35 or 40 verses. I didn't write them all out. I just put the where they're found. But I was in awe at the impact and the importance of just keeping the commands of God. So here, God's commandments can be kept. Abraham, in essence, kept God's commandments, decrees, and laws. And that was before the actual law was written. But he still kept the precepts of God. Say, well, Brother Phil, you could start off with just plain old-fashioned godly righteousness. Amen. Deuteronomy 30:11 through 14, we won't read it all. Genesis chapter 26 was that Abraham thing. Even before these have been revealed through Moses, presumably these are living by faith, and that's what Abraham did. Romans chapter 4, he lived by faith. And the songwriter wrote that song, Living by Faith. Lester Rolfe used to sing it, Living by Faith, so on and so forth. And you say, how can I honor God? One way would be just living by faith. Because we're a people of faith. And it's impossible to please God. This is New Testament without faith. Amen. We're going to bring it down to the New Testament here in just a moment. But let me lay this foundation for you so you see it. So the godly love, learn, and believe in God's commandments. For they contain precious, enlightening truth that makes one wise. That's Psalms 19:8, Psalms 119. I just want you to know it's there. Psalms 119:47-48, Psalms 119. And all of Psalms is about the Word of God, the power of the Word of God, and the inspiration of the Word of God that teaches us, corrects us, watch it, and commands us to keep the commandments of God. So that's why I use Psalms 119 so much. So the wise follow godly commands as a guiding light. And when we get a commandment from the Word of God or find out something we should be doing that we're not doing, we ought to rejoice. You say, why? Because it's going to bless you if you don't rebel against it. It's in Proverbs 6:23, and keep God's commandments in view of the impending judgment. That'd be enough. Because this book that commands us will also judge us one of these days. And by the way, it's judging us right now. And you'd be surprised if folks, I don't need that Bible. That Bible is too old-fashioned for me, man. I got moves to make, man. Things to do. Fish to fry. Well, secondly, that's foundation laid down on commandments in the Old Testament. Let's pull this thing into the New Testament just a little bit more and feel the impact that Paul gave to Timothy with this thing. When he said that thou keep this commandment without spot, he likened it to one of the commandments in the Old Testament. So those who hope in salvation keep God's commandment. And let me go back to the Old Testament like Paul did and give you an Old Testament foundational verse on the salvation of the Lord. Now, when we use the word salvation, salvation means to save something. In the New Testament, it's more like to redeem something, as with salvation of the Lord. And you could have the restoration or salvation of an old building, and it doesn't mean it was blood bought. You understand the English language. But in light of that, take your Bible and go to Psalms 119. And let me give you, share a verse with you. Late in the 119th Psalm, 166, he says, Lord, I have hope for thy salvation. So he is looking for saving, not like you got born again, but looking for God to save him in a spiritual sense. And done, he says, Lord, I have hope for thy salvation and done thy commandments. So he connected the Lord helping him, saving him, extending to him salvation to keeping the commands of God. Now, when you come on back to the New Testament, we know that you can't work to get salvation because the work has been done. But after the work has been done on the cross of Calvary, it's finished, and you trust Christ, now you still need to live for God. You still need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how do I do that? By believing what the Word of God says. And you can start off by keeping the commands of Christ in the New Testament. And the Old Testament isn't going to hurt you. You say, well, I don't have to keep the law. No, not to get saved, but to have a good life, to have a prosperous life, to have a well life. How about that? That's what the Scriptures teach us. So, for keeping the commandments is essential for righteousness. Understand that. That is a right personal relationship with God. Jesus, I like this, and I highlighted this. Jesus taught that all the commands could be reduced to two based on the single principle of love. And this is where I wanted to get to. Take your Bible and come to the book of Matthew. Matthew 22. And see, he was keeping the law in his life's ministry. He never broke one part of the Old Testament law, one commandment. And so when he gets to the New Testament and they begin to write about his ministry and his life, and Matthew writes this, and Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, obviously, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, Master, they were asking the Lord, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And they were referring back to the law. It's a question. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Of these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You say, man, he gave them quite a lesson right there. So somebody asks you, okay, I want to keep the commands of Christ. Where do I start? Right there. I can remember Brother Jack saying, I get tired of hearing people, we got to have more love for lost souls. He'd say that. But then on the tail end of that thing, he'd say, if you get more love for the Savior, you'd have more love for lost souls. Wow. That makes some sense. And so here when I look at this and see what Jesus taught and what he said, now Mark chapter 12, verse 22-31, it records the same thing. But Jesus kept the Sabbath command, and Luke affirmed the keeping of the others. And he goes all through his life's ministries recorded in the Gospels of how and what the Lord did. But his great teaching on loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself will go a long way in the Word of God. Now, let me broaden this scope just a little bit. Old Testament commandments are not directly binding for Christians. We understand that. Nonetheless, keeping the commandments remain, I believe, imperative. I believe it's important. Thou shalt not steal. You can't throw your hands up and say, oh, you know, that thing over there, thou shalt not steal. That's for them Old Testament Jews. I can just take what I want, man. No, you can't. You say, why? It's sin. And you're breaking the command. Okay, a Christian teaching viewed ethically can sometimes be described as the sacred commandments or the command given by our Lord. And take your Bible and go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. And I got to hurry here if I want to get this in. 2 Peter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, he says in New Testament thinking now, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Now, sometimes people know what's good to do, but they don't do it. It'd be better off if they had never known that, especially when it comes to judgment time. Now, some other thoughts here. Those who obey God's commandments, they're all through, especially the command of faith in Christ and love of the brother. And you know, John was a man that loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He wrote the book of Revelations. Let's go see what he said. Take your Bible. Well, look in John 13, 34, St. John 13, 34. And let me give you that thought, and I'll give you a couple more, and we'll be finished. 13:34, he says this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, and I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Boy, that's something, isn't it? That we love one another. Take your Bible and go to 1 John. He also said this, 1 John. In the little epistle of 1 John, same guy, same writer, chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8. "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment." So these New Testament commandments are important for us. He says, "which ye have from the beginning, the old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." Now, because you're saved, you should want to pay attention to the commands of Christ, is all that John is saying. Look in 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. Watch what he says. He says, "And this is his commandment, that ye should believe on the name of the Son of Christ, on his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." So New Testament commandments to the child of God today are just as important as the Old Testament commandments were for the Old Testament Jew. We've got some commands that we're supposed to keep. And Peter talks about these things. Look in 1 John. John talks about them. Look in 1 John chapter 4, verse 21. He says this, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." Now John said that. I didn't say that. "Conversely, whoever does not keep God's commandments has not come to know God, or is terribly backslidden." Look, if you would, at 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. 1 John 2, 3. He says, "And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." So they're important to us, you and I. He says, "He that saith I know him and keepeth not his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now, I didn't say that, but that's New Testament to the church and to the brethren in Christ. See, what are you saying? I'm saying a lot of folks that get saved just don't have a lot of love for the brethren today. Now, they're either not saved, amen, or they're terribly backslid and need to get right. The commands in the New Testament are very important for us. So find a place in your heart to love one another. Oh, brother. Yeah, I know. John's hard on us. Love of God is expressed by keeping his commandments. There in 1 John chapter 5, John says a lot about this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." Verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." It's just too hard to keep the commandments of Christ. Now, whoa. He said they're not grievous. If you're saying they are grievous, we have a problem. Because the way of the transgressor is hard, his yoke is easy. Amen. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say there's room in every one of our hearts and every one of our lives to have a little more love for God, which will extend into loving the brethren. Amen. And there'll be some people come into church today, they'll sit on the opposite side of the building because they don't like somebody on the other side. Say, what's wrong with that? Well, I don't know. Might be a self problem, might be a sin problem, might be a lost man problem. Most likely it's a sin problem. So here, those who keep them abide in God and in him. And I've been in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. I like this verse. It's a very powerful verse. It says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him." So that gives you the key for, I'm out of time, for what's wrong with folks that can't love the brethren. God doesn't dwell in them. Or he's grieved. And he says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him." In other words, there's a hand-in-hand relationship. And he says, "And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." And that's powerful. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, I gave it to you once. But the commandments, although just and holy, are used by the sin nature to bring about spiritual death. Say, who said that? I don't have time to develop this, but we need this. It's found in Romans chapter 7 under the pen of the Apostle Paul, verse 8 through verse 13. I won't have time to develop it. There's more said with the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 on how important it is to keep the commands of Christ. And I have one last verse and I'm done. John chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, that's Christ saying, if you love Christ, if you love me, you know the rest of the verse, keep my commandments. And so I submit this morning by way of lesson that we need more love for the Savior. And then we'll have more love for one another. And I guess any minister, any teacher, anybody wants folks to get closer to God. And I want to get closer to God and say, why? It just make you a sweeter person. Amen. So thanks for listening. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a chance to teach your word. It's a wonderful book. It commands us. It convicts us. It challenges us. And lets us know what we need to do. Help now. Our service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and good morning.